Hi, I'm Jared Sebesta. Here's the podcast for Repurposed. Enjoy the conversation.
A lot of people label adolescence as the rebellious years, but really it's harvest years. You are now about to reap what you have sown into it when the kid really couldn't do much about it. Right. And now they can, and there's no connection that they're trying to protect. And so they are now willfully out of control. My gift is not to teach you that you can be controlled by me. My gift is to teach you to control yourself in your life.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Repurposed, a show dedicated to inspire you to live a life of purpose, of meaning, of intentionality, and ultimately of high impact. I'm your host, Jared Sebesta of Teaches Financial Group, a retirement planning firm based in West Central Minnesota, where our mission is to partner with individuals, families, and businesses to change lives and inspire what we call true wealth. True wealth to us is really living out a life of purpose, of meaning, of impact. We believe with our clients that retirement can be one of the greatest, most impactful season of a person's life. And that's what we try to inspire with our clients here at our firm. If you want more information, just go to our website, TeachesFinancial.com. Well, on this episode of Repurposed, I'm bringing you a conversation with Danny Silk. Danny is on the leadership team with Bethel Church in Redding, California, and Jesus Culture in Sacramento. He and his wife, Sherry, founded Loving on Purpose, a ministry to families and communities worldwide. Danny is also the author of four books, Culture of Honor, Loving Our Kids on Purpose, Powerful and Free, and the top-selling book, Keep Your Love On. I actually mentioned this on the show here today. I read Loving Our Kids on Purpose before I reached out to Danny for this interview, and I really, really enjoyed that book and what it had to say about building a love connection with our kids. But more so, we have a choice to choose between acting and reacting with people from a position and a posture of love rather than fear. Danny and I talk about this on the show today, and he also talks about a fundamental key understanding that we all must have with all of our relationships, whether it's with our kids or our spouse or our coworkers, to really give us the freedom to act in love. Here's my chat with Danny Silk. Danny, thank you so much for taking time out of your schedule and joining me on the show here today.
It's great to be with you.
Well, you are quite a guy. You got a number of books out, which we're going to get to. I've read several of them. They've been very helpful for me in my own fatherly journey. First, tell our audience about what you do now and kind of your current role.
I'm the president of Loving on Purpose, and primarily what I do is I write books. I travel about 200 days a year. I do conferencing with other churches. We have our own Loving on Purpose summits around the country. And I spend quite a bit of time doing recordings for our Loving on Purpose Life Academy, which is an online school.
That's awesome. And you work with Bethel Church, right?
I'm the senior team at Bethel Church, and I'm also on the senior advisory team at Jesus Culture Sacramento.
Yeah, that's awesome. How long have you been with Bethel?
Well, I've been with Bill Johnson and Chris Valentin for a little over 35 years. I moved my family to Bethel to be on staff in 2001. Then in 2014, we left Redding to come to Sacramento area to help Jesus Culture start a church in Sacramento.
Cool. So you've been in the ministry for several decades. How did how'd you kind of get into that? What's your background? What's your, you know, not your full testimony, but how did you get into the ministry and do this?
Well, my education background is I have a master's degree in social work, so I was doing a lot of foster care, adoptive care, social work, training foster parents and that sort of thing. And then I got a call from Bill Johnson to come be his associate pastor in Weaverville, where he had pastored for 17 years. So I thought, well, this is the chance to go, you know, learn to pastor from Yoda. Right. And so I went to there, and 2 months later, he accepted the role at Bethel, and we became the senior pastors of the church we got saved in Weaverville. And we did that for 6 years, and then I got another call from Bill that said, could you come help me in Redding at Bethel? And so we moved our family again to Redding, California in 2001.
Sure. Cool. Well, your ministry is called Loving on Purpose. And of course, that coincides with kind of our goal of this podcast, to encourage people to live with purpose. How did this come about? Why did you choose this name and this pathway and this message? How did that come about?
Oh, I just think that so often people choose fear in their relationships, which generates so much destruction, so much control. And so if you don't, you know, if you don't have a purpose behind cultivating love, then you won't. You'll mix so much fear into what you do, how you do it, how you see, why you do what you do. And so loving on purpose is really a deliberate choice to cultivate love every day and all the things that you do.
When did this ministry begin? How many years ago did you start it?
2008 is when I formed the nonprofit. That was when Loving Our Kids on Purpose came out. It was December of 2008, and then Culture of Honor came out 2009. So I really formed the ministry right around the release of the books.
When you say, you know, loving on purpose, is that just another way to say intentionally? You know, what does that word purpose mean to you in that context?
I think it means decision. You know, that you are deciding to cultivate love. You're deciding to be a powerful person. You're deciding to take responsibility. You're deciding between love and fear over and over and over.
Yeah. What was your role at the church at this time that kind of got you to this point where you're like, I need to start a ministry and really just speak directly into this idea?
Well, I came originally as an on-staff counselor, but I really quickly became in charge of all the family life departments. Mm-hmm. So I did lots of work with people who were struggling in marriage, in parenting. By that time, I'd been training parents for about 10, 12 years. I've done a lot of crisis work with families. And so it's just always been part of my skill set. My calling is to help people in relationships.
Yeah. Well, I've read the book, the Loving Our Kids on Purpose, and it was a great book. And I don't, you know, I'm not just saying that because I have you on the line. It was a really great book. It talks about creating the connection that you probably have gotten that before. When I say like, oh, I got him on the line, so I'm going to say it's a great book. It really was. It was a great book building, you know, a connection. And just talk about how when it comes to just the parenting role with a child. You know, one of the things that stuck out to me, and again, I have three small kids, seven, almost eight, six, and almost four. And you think as a parent, your number one role is to create obedient children. And that's not necessarily the case, right?
Yeah, well, you want your children to follow you, but you don't necessarily control your kids. So that's the quandary, is, you know, how do I get these kids to do what I want them to do, but I don't have any control of them? And that is really the relational skill set that you have to cultivate. Like, how does God get us to follow him? Well, we follow him because we love him. He really doesn't control us, and we do have a choice. So I want to treat my children with reality instead of this twisted up weird thing that says you have to do what I say, because toddlers and teenagers are trying to convince their parents that that's not true. Yeah. And it isn't true. I don't have to do what you say, and I often don't. And so I'm more interested as a parent in developing this heart-to-heart connection where – you care about our relationship because I've taught you to. I've empowered you. I've allowed you to experience your consequences from your poor choices. I don't punish you. I'm not after you suffering. I'm after you learning. Hmm. And so there's so much investment into this connection, this heart-to-heart connection, that you begin to steer yourself in your choices to protect our connection as much as I steer myself in our choices to protect our connection.
He said one of the most devastating, easy ways to destroy that connection is almost try to impose your will, not necessarily physically. Like for me, I'm a bigger guy. I'm 6 foot six, you know, so my children are a fraction of my size, literally, you know, and sometimes when they are disobeying or irritating mommy, which irritates me, you know, I can step in and just kind of impose my will just with my presence and voice. And I've noticed, and it was very confirming with reading your book, that it's, you may get them to obey in that moment, but I've destroyed that connection that almost lasts for days after that moment. I've seen moments where I've kind of imposed my will too much and that connection's lost, and it takes me days to get that back. Talk about, you know, just the toxicity of that relationship between maybe parents and children that goes on for a large chunk of their lives.
Yeah, I think a lot of families, you know, as children become adults, and the parent is finally faced with the reality that I don't control their behavior, there's the children don't want to be around the parents. It starts in adolescence when the child starts to realize that they're free. The child starts to realize that, hey, wait a second. If I don't allow this intimidation and I'm not afraid of your threats, you really have nothing to use on me. And so it becomes a horrible experience for the parent to watch your parenting template disintegrate in front of you because you are now faced with all the disrespect and manipulation and control. It's now being used on you. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, a lot of people label adolescence as the rebellious years, but really it's harvest years. You are now about to reap what you have sown into it when the kid really couldn't do much about it. Right. And now they can, and there's no connection that they're trying to protect. And so they are now willfully just out of control. My gift is not to teach you that you can be controlled by me. My gift is to teach you to control yourself in your life.
Right. And I think that goes back to what you talked about, the freedom. In fact, I was just chatting with a friend of mine about this yesterday, because a lot of the stuff that you talk about, we have incorporated, especially with my youngest, who tends to be the strongest willed of the three by far. By the way, that's off the record. But there was freedom in knowing that when there's an issue or a tantrum or something like that, I don't have to lose my handle either.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that my wife and I have been practicing that more. Like if she's just going to go fly off the handle, you know, unless she's going to hurt herself or somebody else, we'll just let her do her thing and just kind of let it fizzle out. And instead of, I'm free to not have to lose my temper and kind of exacerbate the whole situation. And that's been huge. So talk about that for a second too. Just the freedom in giving them the free choice to choose, but also the freedom to like not get caught up in the emotion of a disobedient child.
Yeah, probably the tip number one would be, you know, you learn that you don't control other people,
yeah,
but on a good day, you can control yourself.
Right.
And so that's what you're going to try to have today, is a good day and manage you while your kid decides to uncork the genie. So you don't control the child, but you certainly do set boundaries on where they can act like that.
Right.
They would, you know, you can throw a fit all you want in the front yard or the backyard. You can do that in your room, and you can come out when you're fun. Take your time. You want to go to your room with your feet touching the ground or not touching the ground? You know, I'm going to give you choices. But you are going to learn to manage yourself in this relationship, because no one can control you.
Yeah, yeah. And I think me, like with a lot of parents, our biggest fear is that our kids are going to disobey and disrespect us, because when they do that, I have to have a reaction. I have to try to control them, and what you're saying is that it's really just controlling me in that situation. And I've experienced that freedom you talked about, so I appreciate that. That's great. So talk about your other book, Keep Your Love On. What's the difference between that? What's the main message of that?
That book is really aimed at adult relationships. It's got three sections. It's a section on connection, which is where relationships really start. Is again, it's teaching people that they are powerful with themselves. They're not powerful to control the people they care about or the people who are bugging them. And then communication. How do we then protect that connection by communicating in such a way that we lower fear, we lower anxiety, and we increase the message, I care about this relationship. I care about the outcome of this communication. And then boundaries. And boundaries is really about how do I communicate with the world around me what my priorities are and how do I manage the demands that would compete against those priorities.
What's like a number one struggle? You said you did a lot of ministry and relationships, marital care and whatnot. You know, what was like the most common, I guess, not want to say issue, but what was the most common reason people were in your office, and how do the things that you just mentioned apply to those situations?
I think classically people believe that they're powerless. As humans, that they're just kind of on the receiving end of circumstances, situations, other people's attitudes or harsh words, and they don't ever really get around to what is it that you do control, what is it that you will control, and what changes when you are more concerned about managing yourself than the universe around you. Even in your relationship with God, you know, God is not trying to control you. He's actually created this place where you can be exceptionally free. All you need to do is stay connected to Him and make a top priority love. As soon as you make that transition from I'm going to try to control everybody else and make them do what I want them to do so I'll be okay, to I'm going to manage me regardless of what other people do, now you are creating a tomorrow you want to live in instead of just ending up somewhere.
You talked about, you know, making that decision for love. I heard recently, I can't remember where it was, but they said you base decisions based on two realities, either love or fear. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. That is the premise of Keep Your Love On. Yeah. There's a war between love and fear. And both of those would love nothing more than to be your counselor. And so you are powerful to decide, will love be my counselor in this conflict, in this situation, in this relationship, or will fear be my counselor in this conflict or this relationship? And so loving on purpose, keeping your love on, however you want to say it, is really winning the war between love and fear.
I mean, I think it's pretty easy to pick, you know, like if there's a confrontation between me and my wife, the loving response, the quote unloving response would be to hang on to pride, stubbornness, bitterness, resentment. How do you tie that back to fear? Because that doesn't sound like fear to me.
Well, fear is all about protecting yourself. Fear is all about controlling other people. Love is also about, you know, controlling yourself and protecting the relationship. So you have different priorities when you manage those two things. Fear being to kill, steal, and destroy. So you can look at the list of sins that you just identified and you say, oh yeah, well, every one of those wreaks havoc and introduces destruction to a loving connection.
Interesting. Your message, you kind of now kind of dovetailed into leadership. How does this idea of, you know, loving on purpose translate into this idea of leadership and business development that you've kind of now broken into?
Well, I think that, you know, business, any corporate setting is starting to realize that anxiety is the number one eroder of creativity and production amongst teams. When there's division, when there's selfishness, when there is relational conflict, unresolved division, this is costing companies more and more, especially as millennials enter the workforce and they really are after quality of life, freedom, lifestyle, and not necessarily going to be career oriented, you know, with a company unless that place can create a world they want to choose to be in.
So you just did a book recently with Carla Chud called The Pathway to Powerful. Talk about that.
Yeah, Carla Chud is a pastor up in Alaska, and I watched her transition a failing church environment into a thriving church environment. They had a church that basically lost about 800 people in about 7 or 8 years, and enter Carla, and she begins to realize that this whole place is talking about being a culture of honor, and they're talking about keeping their love on, but nobody's doing it. Nobody in the leadership is actually doing any of the things that are in those books. They're just talking about it. So she then begins to engage a training and a personal development, self-awareness, and went on her own journey as well, but began to orchestrate this environment to where they are now back on top, and they got close to 1,000 people again. Finances are good. Everybody wants to be there. So I was just so impressed with Carla's leadership capacity. And so I said, let's team up and let's write a book together. And we did.
I watched a promo video with her. She said she knew a lot of this stuff, but really wasn't living it out. What was the difference maker for her?
Probably this, that they were going to have to close the church. You know, okay. I think they released over half their staff, which was like 8 or 9 people in one day. They had to release because of finances, and it was a rough patch for that church. And then as soon as they started actually taking responsibility, managing themselves, you know, identifying their core values, building behaviors to support those core values, pretty soon what began to happen is this whole cultural transformation.
Interesting. Let's talk about just living a purposeful life. You know, again, being intentional. People listening to this right now, they want to start to make some of these changes, maybe be more intentional when it comes to loving their kids, acting out of love, not fear. What's kind of the first step in all this process, whether it's, again, a relationship with their children, their wife, or a coworker?
I think people just have to realize that they're believing a lie that they can control other people. Until you deal with that, until you get rid of this idea that you, in fact, can control other humans, when you get scared or hurt, you'll try to control them. And it just introduces all this calamity. It introduces all this fear and increased anxiety. So step one is deal with the lie that you can control other humans.
That's good stuff, Danny. I appreciate that so much. Before I let you go, where can people find you and your new book?
LovingOnPurpose.com is the website that will get you to our Life Academy and all the other stuff we're doing. And PathwayToPowerfulBook.com will get you into the right to the book that we just released.
Yeah, that's awesome. Danny, I appreciate that so much. Thanks for your time here today. Keep up the great work, and God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
I sure hope you enjoyed this conversation with Danny Silk. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know, it's a really simple message that Danny brings to the table, but a very effective and biblical one as well. The quicker that we can stop believing the lie that we can control other people and only control our actions and reactions to situations, the sooner we will experience freedom in those situations. Again, when my child throws a temper tantrum or someone does something that hurts me or hurts my feelings or whatever, I'm free to react from a posture and position of love rather than fear. If we want to have impact on others, especially for the kingdom, we must act in love, just like Danny talks about. For more information on Danny Silk, go to lovingonpurpose.com. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Repurposed. Just a reminder, this show is based on a book by Ben Tejas called Repurposed, The Untold Story of Retirement in America. If you want the first two chapters of that book totally free, it's so simple. Just go to our website, tejasfinancial.com, and click on Heard Us on the Radio for your free gift just for listening here today. Also, a big thanks to Faith Radio for helping us sponsor this program. If you missed any or all of this episode, visit myfaithradio.com to hear or download the podcast there. I'm Jared Sebesta. We'll see you next time on Repurposed. Hey, thanks for listening to the podcast of Repurposed. This media is only available because of listener support just like you. If you want to make a gift right now, you can go to the website, myfaithradio.com. And if you do that, we would appreciate that so much. Also, thanks in advance for sharing these podcasts with your friends online. It's an easy way to help spread the impact of Repurposed. And just one more thing, subscribe. You can find Repurposed on iTunes or your favorite podcast player.